Hello and welcome, Joshua, to Experience Share. It's a Pokemon podcast starring me, Charmander, aka Tanner Greenring, and I'm joined, as always, by you, my co-host, Pidgey.
That's a mess.
AKA Joshua Fjellstad. I know, but like, we've already done this entire region before. So like, I'm gonna have to repeat some names and try to get a little creative with all the nicknames.
Chartander is good.
Joshua, the great albatross has been lifted from our necks. We are done.
I am free.
You are done, I should say, with Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Red Rescue Team.
Rest in petals, that fucking game.
We will never think about it again. We will never play it again. We're done with mystery dungeons forever.
Yeah, mystery solved. It sucks.
Interstitial over. New season begin now.
Oh, man. Hell yeah.
And it's season 4 or like
3.5. I
think it's 3B. 3B, yeah.
You know, like HBO does that with Game of Thrones and like The Sopranos. 3A was Hoenn.
We could do Kingdom Hearts naming convention and do 3.5, like 3.5 Heart Remix or something like that, you know? Like,
yeah.
You don't play the Kingdom Hearts games?
No. I mean, I know what it is.
Yeah.
I like my idea. I like the 3B.
Yeah, your idea was fine.
3B.
3B. We are playing through the second iteration of games in the third gen, which is a remake of Gen 1,
Red and Blue,
Kanto region, Red and Blue, or Red and Green if you are Japanese.
Yes.
We are playing through Fire Red, Leaf Green, Joshua, and we're doing it in sort of a saucy little way, aren't we?
Oh, it's very saucy. Too saucy, actually.
A little too saucy for Josh this week. He sent the dish back and he was like, too much sauce.
I have a fragile Norwegian stomach.
We are playing through Fire Red, Leaf Green, and we are doing Nuzlocke rules, which if you don't know what that is, it's complicated.
It is.
Joshua, do you want to run the bug catchers through Experience Share's official house Nuzlocke rules really quickly?
We encourage everyone who plays along with us to follow these Nuzlocke rules, but we're not going to judge you if you don't because it is a commitment.
I will.
Tanner will. Okay.
I'll judge you.
I won't. Josh won't.
I'll judge you positively because it means you're doing better stuff with your life.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'll be doing it. I'll be doing the full Nuzlocke run.
I will as well.
Explain it to me.
Nuzlocke, in general, was based off like a comic where someone was doing this.
Are you wondering where their name comes from? I did too once, and a bug catcher tweeted me and said, it's named after Nuzleaf and Locke from Lost.
Yeah.
And this guy on Twitter named it.
And we haven't done enough background to really figure out why.
Doesn't make it any less confusing.
Yeah, I mostly do. 19th century history and World War II history. I can't, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have space in my brain for this.
Yeah. I mean, I did watch all of Lost.
I did as well.
So I'm like familiar, but
John Locke is maybe my favorite character. Is that basic though?
John Locke was definitely my favorite for the first several seasons.
Does everyone like him though?
And then he got weird and he turned into like God or Satan or something.
I think he was God. And then the Man in Black was Satan.
Right.
I actually was thinking about rewatching that. I feel like that's going to be everyone's next pandemic thing, you know?
Oh, it's just not going to work anymore, I don't think.
No.
You know what you should watch?
What?
I started a new show on HBO Max called Doom Patrol. It's pretty fun.
What the hell is that?
It's based on a DC comic book. It's pretty fun.
Okay.
Brendan Fraser's in it.
Is that like current? He still acts or is it old?
He's back. No, it's current.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah.
He's back?
He's back.
Can you say that? Can you say that?
It's good. Watch it.
What did their publicist email you? Like, Brendan Fraser's back. They're like, oh, he's back. Okay. I didn't know.
He like went away for a while. When's the last time you saw him in anything?
I thought he was done. He like made his money and then he was like, I'm out.
No, he's back.
Okay.
He's back, baby.
All right, Brendan Fraser.
In a fun show.
Doom Patrol. Okay.
Doom Patrol. Give it a watch, bug catchers. Give it a watch, Joshua.
Okay.
Okay. So now what?
Nuzlocke, it's got origins. We talked about them lightly. You can figure it out. You all know Bulbapedia.
Figure it out.
And you can get into it if you want.
We shan't.
We won't. But we are playing by the core rules.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few bonus rules that are either directly based on common house rules or adapted from them, and then we have a couple that are endemic to experience share.
Mm-hmm.
The number one thing about Nuzlocke is that when a Pokemon faints, it is considered dead, and it must be released as soon as you can release it.
Yep. Next opportunity.
Yes. And we do have an exception. Shiny Pokemon can be permanently stored in a box rather than released.
As if any
we
of us expect gonna that's going to happen. One.
Hasn't happened yet. Yeah. Don't know why it would start happening now.
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
I've literally, in 20 plus years of playing Pokemon, never caught a shiny other than Red Gyarados, which is default.
I don't think I would ever expect to.
I also don't try to do it.
Can you try?
Yeah. Once they get introduced, which is Gen 2, the more Pokemon that you fight increases the chances that a shiny will appear. Like, you want a, let's say, a Spinda, which is top of mind because I spent a lot of time outside Fall Arbor Town in Sapphire.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of Spindas. So say you want a shiny Spinda, you would just hang out like...
I would never.
You just slaughter them.
I would never take a shiny Spinda.
Well, I don't either. But just for illustrative purposes, you keep slaughtering them and it slowly increases it. I don't know what the math is. I don't do math.
He already explained this.
Yeah.
He does history.
Yes.
British history. He doesn't do math.
No, I don't know no math.
Yeah.
Core rule number two.
Okay.
You may only catch the first Pokemon you encounter in each area. So that means when you walk into a route, you walk into a dungeon, you walk into a safari zone area, whatever. That is when you can catch a Pokemon. You have to catch the first Pokemon. And if that Pokemon flees or faints, then that's it.
Or you just miss the route, you know, like...
Yeah, if you don't go there.
If you walk through route two and don't hit the patch of grass, you're done.
We did make an exception where static encounters, so encounters that are forced upon you do not count.
Yes.
When you are forced to fight Snorlax after using a Poke Flute,
yes,
that does not count.
That doesn't count.
That leads me to the next rule. We have to catch all of our own Pokemon. We may not use Pokemon traded or gifted to us by another player, including NPCs, or via mystery gifts, or acquired through scripted in-game events, which a Pokemon like Snorlax is.
Yep.
One exception we're making there is for the starters, because we are not total masochists.
Yeah.
Number four, we have to name all of our Pokemon.
Not a big deal for us. We already always do.
We already do that.
But I feel like we have to kind of go above and beyond and try to come up with names for our Pokemon that really resonate with at least one of us.
Well, we'll see. I have a
we'll see
convention for mine that's thematic, I think.
Okay.
And I think this is our own rule that's a core rule. Guests and host battles, so battles between us or battles between us and guests, are a dream sequence.
It's a dream sequence.
Yeah, any Pokemon that faint in those battles do not need to be released.
Yep.
Because, you know, we have to draw the line somewhere. We can't be rebuilding teams constantly.
Yep.
And then finally, of the core rules, number six, no restarting or reloading. Just because something didn't go our way, no saves coming, no mayor cheats. And that's the golden rule.
Yep.
The golden rule.
Yep.
No mayor cheats.
Golden rule, no mayor cheats. Bonus rules.
Yeah.
Which have already started to go into effect.
Oh, yeah.
We're choosing our starter Pokemon at random based on the last digit of the trainer ID that gets generated when we start the game. The last number of the trainer ID that I got was 5, so I selected Charmander, the fire type. Josh, what was the last number of your trainer ID?
It was a 0. So I got to choose, and I chose Bulbasaur because we haven't had a Bulbasaur yet.
Yep.
On our playthroughs.
So 1 through 3, grass, 4 through 6, fire, 7 through 9, water, and 0 is we choose.
Right.
Bonus roll number 2.
Yeah.
We are capping our team sizes at whatever the number of Pokemon that the rival or gym leader we're facing off against next has.
Right.
Luckily, we've played through this game before, so we have a bit of foresight. So we know when the rival battles are coming. We know what the gym setups are going to look like. So
right.
We can plan accordingly and only go into gym battles with the same number of Pokemon as the gym leader.
It's a relatively established house rule, but we thought that was pretty fun.
Bonus rule number 3, no legendary Pokemon may be caught or used.
Yeah.
Josh, we already do that.
So. We did it in the first part of this season. We shan't be doing it in this part, even though, once again, it means that I will not get to have a Mewtwo on my team.
Bonus rule number four, gyms are checkpoints. So if we white out at any point after a gym, we go back to the gym, we release any Pokemon we caught since that gym, and we start over from the gym. And that includes recapturing any Pokemon from that point on.
Yes.
And that's just, you know, for the sake of keeping the season going.
Yeah.
Bonus rule number five is boring, but we'll talk about it. If the game requires an HM, like Cut, to get through a part, and we don't have any Pokemon that can learn Cut, we can go catch an HM friend and teach it Cut. If we do have a Pokemon that can learn Cut, we do have to teach it Cut, though.
Yeah, even if it's in your main roster.
And that's it. Those are our official experience share Nuzlocke house rules.
And we have shared them on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the subreddit. So if you haven't started playing along and you do want to play with the Nuzlocke rules, you can go to @expsharepod on Twitter and Instagram and reddit.com/r/bugcatchers on Reddit.
Let's talk about catchable roots for a moment, Joshua.
Yeah, you got a whole fucking spreadsheet you've been doing.
I looked into it. And I also like wanted to make sure I wasn't doubling up. I'm taking this very seriously.
I actually should add mine.
So there are, let's see, there are 50 catchable roots in Leaf Green and Fire Red, including all the areas of Safari Zone. And we've listed them out in a doc. So if you want to play along, we'll probably post this on Twitter and Instagram as well.
We only have
the option to catch 50 Pokemon total.
I'm in bad shape, man.
Yeah.
I only have 50 options.
You only have 50 options.
Oh my God.
And some of them are probably going to be repeats.
I've already burned through several of them.
I know.
No.
Did you miss any this week?
No, I went everywhere. I went everywhere, but I made mistakes.
Okay. We, this week, aside from the starter, encountered 1, 2, 3, 4 catchable areas and have, I assume, each built a 5 Pokemon team.
Yeah.
Because
definitely we both did that.
With our starter in there, that's 5 total Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
That is the housekeeping for this season. It's going to be weird. It's going to be wild. It's going to be fun.
Wet and wild.
It's going to be wet. It's going to be wild.
Wet-ass Pokemon.
Wet-ass Pokemon. Neither of us has a wet-ass Pokemon.
Not yet, but we will.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, fuck it. We don't know what we're going to get.
It's a nightmare. Joshua, that's the Nuzlocke stuff, but then we also did play some Pokemon this week, didn't we?
God, we did.
The game starts. We're back in Kanto.
And can I just say, it's great to be back in Kanto, and it's great to just play for a cool hour and a half.
It's great to be back in Kanto, and the game looks fucking great.
It looks great. So we should say, like, it is the same generation, like, it's in terms of technology. So the aesthetics are basically the same as Ruby and Sapphire and Emerald, which look great. Fucking fantastic.
It was cool to see Oak in his full, like, 16-bit full color glory.
And I love that they do a little recap when you boot up the save.
Oh yeah.
It will be like, here are the 4 little things that you did most recently.
It's always so boring. It's always just like, you went to Pokemon Mart and bought 8 antidotes.
Yeah.
It's like, so?
It's fun for now. I think it will probably get annoying pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
But it's novel. It's novel.
There's all sorts of cute little things. And like, when you give your Pokemon a potion or an antidote from the bag.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of goes to this little cutscene.
Yeah. That's a waste of time.
Where your Pokemon's like, yum.
Yeah. Although I guess they brought that back in Gen 8, where you like give them something and then you have to watch them react. And the food.
I am somewhat aware of the fact that they like gigapetted up the Pokemon games a little bit in the future. You can like
Tamagotchi
pet them
style.
And feed them and like clean up their poop. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not poop. I mean.
Oh, okay.
Let's not get crazy.
Well, if I did it, there would be poop in there too.
Okay.
We launch the game and we start entirely new characters, Joshua. Our arms are tied a little bit because we can only catch the first Pokemon in each area, so it's going to be hard to build a themed team around that.
Right.
So we both had to get a little creative with the concepts for our characters, didn't we?
I guess.
Can I tell mine first, and then we'll get into the sort of the creative spark behind your character as well?
Well, may I ask you, Tanner, are you a boy or are you a girl?
Boy.
Okay. And what is your name?
Mr. Mime. Okay. Mr. Mime is my character's name, and also it's who he is. He's a Pokemon.
You're role-playing as a Pokemon?
Yes.
It's gross.
My character is a Mr. Mime.
The only Pokemon I know that can catch other Pokemon is Mewtwo.
No.
I don't think Mr. Mime could pull that off.
Here's the tricky part. Mr. Mime is just a guy, as we've discussed before.
Right.
He's just a guy. And this particular Mr. Mime, the one I'm playing as, finally just kind of realized. He was like, hey, wait a second.
I'm a dude.
I'm just a dude. This Mr. Mime has decided to become a Pokemon trainer, but he's really bad at it. And he has really bad instincts. So it's like, he kind of gets in his head and he panics and he only catches the first Pokemon he sees in each new area.
Okay.
And he keeps like letting his Pokemon get killed. Like he doesn't pull them back when they faint. He just like leaves them out there to get killed. And he's like afraid of legendaries because he's a Pokemon himself, you know? So it's like,
oh yeah,
legendaries are intimidating for him. So
this is pretty smart.
He's Mr. Mime. He's just a Mr. Mime. He is a Mr. Mime and he's a Pokemon trainer.
Very elaborate.
Yeah.
You really thought about this.
And your character?
Well,
I expect yours is probably as elaborate and,
fuck
and
you.
Well thought out as mine.
I've established the canon that I'm building out. Joshua is reborn continuously throughout time in the style of Link in Legend of Zelda.
Or like Doctor Who.
Yes, and we have another Joshua here.
Okay, wow. Bold.
This is a bad Joshua, though.
Oh, okay, because that's my rival's name.
This is one that's more interested in crime and the black market.
Ah, he's like a Giovanni Joshua. He's like a Joshavani.
Yeah, he's into some mafia stuff.
Interesting.
Been watching a lot of The Sopranos. He's gotten...
I like that it's not even like he's in The Sopranos. He's just been watching a lot of Sopranos. Coincidentally, so have you.
Yeah, and he's one of those people who just like starts acting out based on like what he watches on TV.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I can be a mafia boss too.
I do that with podcasts. I pick up mannerisms of podcasters when I listen to too much of a podcast.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's you, it's Joshua, and you've been watching a lot of Sopranos. So what, your Pokemon are named after Sopranos?
My Pokemon will be named after Sopranos characters who may or may not die.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil it because I know a lot of people have done what I've done during the pandemic and started watching this show or thinking about doing it. So they will be named after Sopranos characters because people die fucking constantly in that show.
Yep.
There's usually a death every episode, but I'm not going to name them after only characters who die or live in order to make it unclear.
Right.
Because I'm not going to spoil it. Because let me tell you something. Tanner, you seen this show, Sopranos?
No.
This is an excellent show.
I've never found the time.
It was in the category of like The Wire, Breaking Bad, and The Sopranos, where I was like, yeah, everybody yells at me about this show. Will I ever do it? Probably not. We chose Sopranos.
You haven't seen The Wire?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
That's what everyone fucking says. At a certain point, it's annoying, you know? It's like, no, I don't want to experience it because everybody yells at me.
Literally, bug catchers, do not tweet me about this. I don't care, but I've seen Wire and I've seen Breaking Bad, and like,
humble brag,
I kind of regret watching Breaking Bad, or like, I regret the amount of time I put into Breaking Bad. I feel gross about it. Wire is incredible though, and you should watch it.
Okay.
I have a hard time getting excited about shows that are like heavy and difficult.
Yeah, I mean, of course, same.
It's like an emotional investment, and I just like, sometimes it's just like, God, I just don't have it in me to like watch something.
I mean, it took me being conscious of The Sopranos for
20 years,
20 something years before I was like, fine, I'll fucking watch it.
Yeah. You didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you anyway, Josh, my Pokemon are all named after.
Well, I didn't want to ask about this.
A questionnaire I sent you some weeks ago now. I didn't tell you what its purpose was for. It was called Josh's Most Beloved.
Yeah, I figured.
And I asked you to name some of your childhood best friends, some of your favorite bands and musicians, favorite authors, fictional characters.
Family members, friends.
Family members, pets.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I knew what you were going to fucking do with this. That's why I didn't want to talk about it.
I want to adhere to the rules, Josh, of the Nuzlocke run, and I want to name Mr. Mime's Pokemon so that I form an emotional attachment to it. But I don't want, I want to share this burden with you. And I want it to hurt you as much as it hurts me if one of my Pokemon gets killed.
Oh, God.
I want you to feel it, you know?
Yeah.
So all my Pokemon are named after these names that you gave me in your questionnaire that you answered for me.
Yeah.
How is that related to Mr. Mime? Not.
Yeah, so you've got a little fallacy in your story as well.
These are just names that Mr. Mime chose.
Mr. Mime happens to like all of the same things that I do and love the same people and places that I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to, I want us to both feel affected. You know, I want you to be as emotionally moved by a loss as I am while we're playing through. And then you'll be rooting for me too, because hopefully there are no losses. Hopefully I can get through this whole game without incurring any deaths.
No fucking chance.
I don't want this blood on my hands.
No chance.
I'm not going to have Pokemon blood on my hands.
I'm going to
have, I'm careful.
Plenty of fucking Pokemon blood on my hands. I already do, let me tell you.
So Joshua, now that we've established our characters and now that we've established our teams and naming
don't
convention.
You dare.
I would love
take us
to
on a break.
Go on break.
I know your tricks. Welcome back. Welcome back to Experience Your Pokemon Podcast.
We were talking right before the break about our teams and our characters. Joshua, we'd love to hear a little bit more about your team.
Oh my God. Is this level check? Is it level check?
In our hit segment, level check.
God, level check's back.
Level check is back.
Feels good to hear that sound, that theme again.
Certainly feels better than rank check.
Yeah, although we had some fans. There were some fans of Rank Check's music.
Tell me about Joshua's Sopranos.
Of course. Bulbasaur is leading it up. Bulbasaur is Tone Soprano.
Tone Soprano. Yes, it's like Tone Loke.
Not quite. Tone is what Carmella, his wife, calls him.
Ah, okay.
Polly, one of his captains, also calls him that.
Yeah.
And also, I ran out of characters by one, so I couldn't do Tony Soprano.
Right.
The head of this team is Bulbasaur, the starter. So, Tone Soprano.
Tone Soprano. Hey, Tone.
Yeah, hey, Tone.
What level is he?
Level 14.
Level 14. That's pretty good.
Number two.
Okay, so that was one of five. Number two of five.
Is the number, second one, is Febby, named after Fabian Febby. Quote unquote, Petrulio.
Okay.
And it's a Pidgey. It's level 13.
Okay. Where'd you catch him?
Route 2. First part of Route 2 before Viridian Forest.
Which one is Steven Van Zandt?
Oh, he's in like most episodes.
Yeah, he's
Silvio.
Silvio. You haven't gotten to him yet?
No.
Maybe he'll be one of your next three.
One of the next three. Yeah, one of the next three. Yeah. So.
Your five person team.
So those are the two alive Pokemon
that you brought into the gym because of the you have to stick to the rule, you got to bring
that's
two Pokemon
team
into the gym.
It's Tone Soprano and Febby, Bulbasaur and Pidgey. That's it.
That's the entire team.
That's the team. That's Joshua's team.
Catch any other Pokemon?
I caught one other Pokemon. He died.
What happened to you, man?
Well, I caught him on Route 1.
Okay.
Emil Kolar, a Rattata. Level 3.
And he's passed.
He died. And I did name him based on the first person who gets killed in The Sopranos. So it's not really a spoiler because it's just nobody and it's like in the pilot. Emil Kolar.
Was that an accident or did you expect him to die?
I just assumed that the first Pokemon I caught would probably die at some point.
It's a bad assumption because I still have Rattata on my team.
Died a little sooner than I would have hoped.
Yeah.
Died pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
we had two battles together and he was a fighter in those two battles.
He was a fighter. That's what I've always said about
Emil Kolar.
Emil Kolar, rest in peace, little fighter.
He died as I was trying to, I caught him at level 3 and before I went to Viridian Forest, I wanted to raise him up, try to get him to level 6 before I went in there because I thought he would die in Viridian Forest. And then the second battle was against a level 3 Pidgey, and the Pidgey used a tackle, and then it used tackle again, and it got a critical hit on the second tackle, and that was it for Emil Kolar.
Why wouldn't you let Tone or Febby shoulder that hit?
Because it was the same level, and it's a fucking Pidgey versus a Rattata.
You're going to struggle so much with this, Joshua. You treat your Pokemon so poorly.
Well, I'm not going to treat Emil Kolar poorly in his send-off, because I will be singing a song.
As is the rule, and as is the tradition on this show, we are going to be singing to our Pokemon that die to see them off into the afterlife.
It's the least we can do for all the time, the two battles that some of them give to us.
Joshua, my tissues are ready.
Okay.
My heart is ready.
One of my go-to, Someday by the Strokes, and this is for you, Emil Kolar, Rattata, level 3. Yeah, it hurts to say, but I want you to stay. Sometimes. Yeah, when we was young, oh man, did we have fun. Always. Promises, they break before they're made. Sometimes. My ex says I'm lacking in depth. I will do my best. You say you wanna stand by my side. Rattata, your head's not right. Alone we stand, together we fall apart. Yeah, I think I'll be alright. I ain't wasting no more time.
Rest in petals, Emil Kolar.
I ain't wasting no more time, Rattata.
Did you say my ex says I'm lacking in depth?
Yes.
Sounds like a breakup song.
Well, it is, because...
Okay, but Emil is dead.
Okay, so I have to modify even more lyrics?
No, you don't have to do anything. I'm just saying maybe you could be a little more thoughtful. This is your beloved Rattata who died.
Okay, well, I'll scale it up for a Pokemon that I spend more time with than two battles.
Okay.
We run a hard ship. Here. This is the fucking mob, man.
It's the mob. You can't get too attached, you know?
Emil Kolar was a fucking grunt.
These henchmen, they come and go. You cannot get too attached. Joshua, can I tell you about Mr. Mime's team?
Yeah, and your five possible Pokemon? You have five?
I have five Pokemon.
Okay.
The first is my starter, Charmander.
Okay.
Tom York.
Okay.
Named after Tom York from Radiohead, your favorite band.
Tom York is not super fiery.
He's got red hair.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Mostly in the 90s.
You mean when Radiohead was the most popular?
I mean, were they? I feel like probably Kid A was their peak.
What was that, 90?
No, 2000.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Tom York, my Charmander, level 10.
Okay.
Second Pokemon I caught on Route 1, Rattata, still alive, still kicking, Uncle Moak. Your uncle.
Yeah, Uncle Moak. I don't love that, like, theoretically my family members are getting killed. It's one thing that it's, like, a celebrity
yeah, <that's the> point.
That I don't know.
I theoretically don't like it either.
His name is Michael O'Connor, and M-O-C, but he spells it M-O-K-E, Moke.
Okay.
He has a handlebar mustache, and he was in the Navy. So I actually think Raticate, in particular...
Could fit.
Kind of works, although he's definitely more of a, like, a... Water type would be ideal.
Okay. Oh, because of the Navy stuff.
Yeah.
Uncle Moak, Rattata is level 10.
Yeah.
Next up, on Route 22,
okay.
That little side jag in Viridian City, I caught a Spearow, Nash Henson.
Okay. My best man at my wedding.
Your childhood best friend, your best man.
And I will be his best man at his wedding next year, actually.
Ooh.
It's news. Yeah.
I met Nash at your bachelor party.
What'd you think?
Very nice guy.
That's what they say.
Very handsome.
And it's true. Yeah.
Spearow, level 12. Next up, in Viridian Forest, I caught Caterpie.
Okay.
And named it Belzeb, which I ran up against some of the same issues you did with the naming.
Yeah.
So this is Belle-Seb, named after Belle and Sebastian.
I figured you would have done one as Belle and the other as Sebastian, and you would have them at the same time, but...
Nope.
Okay.
Belzeb has evolved to Butterfree, and it is level 16.
Butterfree makes sense, though.
Last up in the lineup is the Pokemon I caught on Route 2, my Pidgey.
Oh, same.
Tribe Quest.
Okay. A Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah. Level 8.
Okay.
Josh, now that we've done our level check, we have a new supplementary segment that kind of goes with level check, which is called Kill Count.
Yeah.
And it's the amount of
kill count
carcasses that you've amassed in your wake. Mine is 0.
Okay.
And yours?
Mine's 1, obviously.
I'm so curious how you managed to get through 4 possible catch zones and only catch 2 Pokemon and let one of them die.
Well, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, it wasn't easy for me.
Pretty straightforward, actually.
I managed to not do
it. My Pokemon are so overpowered that they just happen to fling out one-hit KOs from time to time. Most of the time, in fact.
Let's start at the beginning. Pallet Town. We already know all of this. It's well-trod territory. You start the game. You're at home. Mom says, goodbye, son. Or daughter now, apparently.
Glad to see that the potion was still sitting in the PC. Still did that.
Very useful in this run of the game.
Crucial in a Nuzlocke run. That's a freebie for all you bug catchers.
You go to Professor Oak's lab. Professor Oak is not there.
No.
You leave. You go north.
You try to get out of town. Get out of Dodge.
Professor Oak stops you and says, come with me, boy. Okay, got a Pokemon to give you.
Sounds weird. Okay.
Come with me, boy. I have a voice that I do for the son, for Miles, my son.
Yeah.
Because Miles has eczema and he has got very sensitive skin and he burns very easily.
Yeah.
And he hates the sun. When the sun gets on him, he runs away from it like a vampire.
I fucking hate the sun too. I get that.
So the sun has a voice and he's kind of this villain who's always trying to steal Miles's face. And he talks like this. He said, give me your face, boy. I've come to steal your face, boy. Hide your face from me, boy. Run to the shadows.
Run to the shadows.
And that's kind of the voice that the solar sun has.
I could see that. Yeah, I can hear that.
So that is also Professor Oak's voice, and he invites you back to his lab. You go there. Who do you see? None other than Bad Josh.
Greg.
Sorry?
Greg, also.
No, Bad Josh. Still sucks. He's still mean. He still talks about how much you smell.
All of that, but Greg, yeah.
I hate this guy.
Couple of fuckers.
I can't wait to wipe his fucking shitty face in my shitty Pokemon's butts. Oh, and I did battle him. I did battle him once.
I did as well.
They've layered in all this help text now too, because it's fully the 2000s and now games hold your hand through everything. So it's
oh my God.
The first battle with Bad Josh, it's just Roar is a status changing move.
This is the first game in the Pokemon series where they introduce the hand holding. You get a walkthrough on the first battle at Professor Oak's lab. And it's
yep.
We only got 4 options here. One of them isn't even an option because you can't run. I can figure out what fucking growl means versus tackle.
Yeah.
I don't need your help.
My first battle with Bad Josh went really well. I crushed him.
God, I crushed Greg like the spinnerack he is.
And I got Charmander, Tom York.
I got Bulbasaur, Tone Soprano.
Then we headed up on Route 1. Rule stipulation on Route 1 is that there's a little bit of a fetch quest here, which is that you have to go to Viridian City. You have to pick something up for Professor Oak.
Yeah.
And then you have to run it back down to Pallet Town and then give it to Professor Oak and then go back up to Viridian City and you get Pokeballs then?
Yes. You get Pokeballs as a reward for completing the parcel delivery.
If you're playing along at home, that initial run on Route 1 before you get access to Pokeballs does not count.
No.
So you only start catching Pokemon once you have Pokeballs.
Makes sense.
And that is where I caught my Rattata, and I assume that's where you caught Emil. May his soul rest in heaven eternally.
Yeah.
So finally, you find your way back to Viridian City for real.
We spend some time there.
And Viridian City is the first city you arrive in. It's the one where Giovanni's gym is, but Giovanni is not currently there.
I did spend some time. I went over to Route 22 before I left the town, which is to the west of Viridian City. If you recall, that's where you can trigger a battle with your rival. And there's a patch of grass.
It's the path out to Victory Road, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not go far enough that I triggered a battle with Greg because I figured I would probably die. so I just didn't even bother.
Yep.
I went to the patch of grass because I wanted to catch a slightly more exotic mon, and I was greeted with one, a Mankey, a fucking Mankey, which would have been excellent.
That would have been cool.
To have already. Level 3.
That would have been a cool Pokemon to have.
Yep.
And you caught it?
Tone Soprano was level 8, and he...
That's like rare, too. What's the appearance rate on that in Route 22?
It is rare, yeah.
Yeah.
I used a Tackle, and Tone Soprano was level 8, and it was a critical hit. And
Killed it.
So. Couldn't have that one.
That sucks for you. It's a cool Pokemon. It's a nice looking Pokemon. Do you have anything more to say about Mankey?
This gen, I think they finally got the sprite right, and... Man, am I excited to finally say this again. It's been so long. Mankey is Joshy's sweetie.
All right. Yes. Joshy's sweetie is that sweet little pig monkey, Mankey.
Have you seen the sprite? You haven't encountered one, obviously.
No, I didn't encounter one. I encountered a Spearow. Still sucks.
No, Spearow's gross.
Spearow's gross. Spearow still sucks. So,
but Mankey is cute. He's got his, like... limp wrist arms. Maybe he's a friend of the... He's in my community.
Your community?
Yeah, Gaze.
Brooklyn? Oh, Gaze.
Gaze.
While you were off battling gay Mankeys, I was in Viridian City talking to the creepy old man who teaches you how to play Pokemon, the Java addict.
Did you know that in the Japanese version, he's a drunk?
Oh, no, but I like that. I like him being a drunk.
Yeah. It's the same where, like, the fishermen have, like, a cigarette drooping from their lips.
Yeah.
They cut it in the international version. But apparently he's, like, a drunk.
That's cool.
And so he doesn't remember that he's telling you how to catch Pokemon all the time.
I like that. So there's, like, very famously... This is also kind of, like, xenophobic, so it's, like, I get why they did it. But do you know the game Super Punch-Out for Nintendo?
Yes.
Well, they changed a lot of names, but there was a Russian boxer.
Okay.
In the Japanese version, he was called Vodka Drunsky.
Vodka?
Vodka Drunsky was his name.
Okay.
Which is a really good name for a character.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I was like, cool. I get what this dude is. He's like drunk on vodka. And I love that. They changed his name for the American release to Soda Popinski, which is also very good.
Yeah, it's still good.
So you can't get mad at it, but like still, Vodka Dronsky and Soda Popinski are both very good.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of this character who they swapped out his addiction from alcohol to Java.
He's got to have his Java.
He teaches you how to catch Pokemon. And the example Pokemon he uses is actually my You Make Me Barf Pokemon of the Week.
Oh, finally.
And it does feel good to kind of be back in that space and to be talking about Pokemon that make me barf.
Yeah.
You know him. You hate him. He's an ugly little worm, and his name is Weedle.
Fucking gross. Awful.
The 16-bit does Weedle no favors.
No. It's arguably gotten worse.
It's gotten worse because the thing about Weedle is, like, in this gen, all the Pokemon sprites have gotten so... full and
detailed
and feels so good, and Weedle is still like six circles,
dumb fucking giant button nose, beady eyes, like
just six circles,
just spheres.
He's
like
stupid. I hate Weedle. What a bad Pokemon.
It's like that what's that Mario caterpillar?
Oh yeah, yeah,
also that I hate.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Wiggler. I fucking hate Wiggler, and this is Wiggler basically.
Oh, Wiggler's such a bad name. Wiggler.
God, bad.
Weedle turns into Kakuna, who turns into Beedrill, is that correct?
Yes.
It's sort of the bad boy evolution counter to Caterpie, Metapod, Butterfree.
Yeah. Although I think very clearly Butterfree is the superior option.
Well, I didn't catch a Weedle. I did catch a Caterpie, so I'm in luck there. I hate Weedle. I think he's gross. Onward from Viridian City, Joshua. Mm-hmm. There's a tiny little patch called Route 2. Blink and you miss it.
That's where I caught Febby, my Pidgey.
That's where I caught my Pidgey, too.
It's good.
I almost missed it. Like, I would have not known that this was all there was to Route 2.
You do have to walk through it to get to the entrance to Viridian Forest.
Viridian Forest, Joshua, is where I finally realized that the first Pokemon trainer I would be facing off against is Brock, the rock type Pokemon. Brock the Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
I realized what I had on my team was a fire type Pokemon, two flying type Pokemon, and a normal type Pokemon.
This is what I went through in season one as well. So you apparently were able to emulate the Butterfree strategy.
Yep. So I knew I was boned. I was like, shit, I gotta get something on my team. So what I did was I evolved Caterpie. I got Confusion.
Pretty fortunate you got a fucking Caterpie on your draw.
Oh, I know. So actually, my strategy for Viridian Forest is like, you can avoid tall grass.
Yeah.
Towards the end, you have to go through it. So I avoided grass the entire time, thinking that my chances of getting a more interesting Pokemon, maybe even potentially a Pikachu.
Oh my God, that's what I was holding out for too, man.
Would be higher if I managed to squeeze through the forest and dodge tall grass until the very end. But the second I stepped into tall grass, a Caterpie attacked me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, fuck, fine. I did encounter a Pikachu, but like obviously could not catch it.
I didn't even see one.
So I did catch Caterpie. I evolved it into Butterfree, got that Confusion, saved my life in Pewter City.
That's the move.
And then the only other thing I have to say about Viridian is like, it's brutal. Like the Weedles all have Poison Sting. Poison Sting doesn't always poison you, but it poisons you enough to be annoying.
Yeah.
And poison in this game is just like,
God, it's gonna be so bad.
Tough. Cause like,
it's going to be so bad for us.
You have to run back to a Poké Center to heal. And if your Pokemon passes out on the way, you're just toast.
And I had bought three antidotes and I went through them. And at one point I had to go all the way back to fucking Viridian.
Me too.
Pidgey was down to 3 hit points, by the way. I almost lost Febby as well.
Jesus. There's very little money to come across so far in the game.
Oh yeah, I got like $2,000. That's it.
So I've spent it all on antidotes.
$100 each.
And went through them. Like it was brutal. This is a brutal little leg. But I got through Viridian.
I did get through it. I encountered the one Pokemon that could have caught was a Weedle, level 3.
Yep. Killed it.
Yeah, I didn't learn my lesson and I used Tackle on it and it died.
Why didn't you have a fucking, oh, Pidgey would have been just as bad.
Yeah, Pidgey would have killed it also. I should have used Leech Seed if I was really desperate. But to be honest, I was like, I don't really want a fucking Beedrill. I don't really want to waste my time with this line at all.
Well, Joshua, you only have 50 Pokemon available to you. I don't think
not anymore.
Beggars can be choosers at this point.
What do I have left? Like
48? You're down to 48.
I killed the Weedle. Let me tell you the other thing that fucking killed in Viridian Forest. The soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
The remix fucking rips, man. With the, like, bongo drums.
That's the other thing about the new games is, like, there's more room on the cartridge for music, and they've just, like...
It's so good.
They've, like, amped up all these classic tracks.
Even when I was watching a show or doing whatever, I was putting that headphone adapter to good use. I always had at least one headphone in so that I could hear the tracks, because they slap.
Yeah, they're really good.
And I got out of there.
Through Viridian Forest we went. We found our way to Pewter City to take on Brock.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do in Pewter City.
Just a bit.
There's like a guy who teaches you about setting things to the select button.
Yes. They have a couple of tutorials there. There's a lot of signs that tell you stuff to do.
There's also the museum.
I did spend some time at the museum. Did you spend $50 to go in there? Support the arts?
I did. I felt like I had to because I tried to leave. You know me, right?
Yeah, but you know you can't leave.
You know I like to play ahead a little bit, to explore the route before I hit the gym. So I tried to head east out of town, and someone stopped me, and they're like, hey, have you explored everything Pewter City has to offer? And he dragged me around Pewter City. He's like...
This fucking, like, tour guide.
Yeah, he's like, here's the gym where you can battle Brock, and here's the museum. You should go check it out. I was like, fine. So I went and checked out the museum, and... Whatever. It was the museum.
I thought the museum was worth the $50 this time. I don't think it was worth $50 in Gen 1, but you get to see the space shuttle.
I don't have $50 to spare, and Josh.
you get to see skeletons of Aerodactyl and Kabutops.
Yeah, it's definitely better than it was in Gen 1, but it's, you know, there's nothing to do there.
No, there's nothing to do. Don't get me wrong.
So then you have to pick your two Pokemon. Joshua, that was an easy choice for you.
I had two.
The two Pokemon you had. I went into the battle.
How did you make your decision? Yeah.
Well, so I knew that Charmander was going to be useless.
Yes.
I knew that Spearow and Pidgey were going to be useless.
Yeah.
So I chose the Butterfree, obviously, because it had Confusion.
That's all you need, probably.
It's all I needed, yeah. I chose. I brought Rattata, too, but I pretty much just used Butterfree.
Yeah.
Brock has one crony.
All he had was a Geodude, or a Sandshrew.
Yeah, pretty easily dispatched.
Who cares?
Then it's Brock, who has two Pokemon, one Geodude.
Geodude's level 12.
One Onix.
Onix is level 14.
Yeah, so I just blasted him with Confusions, and I did have a few potions that I fed to Butterfree to get through the fight, and I beat Brock. I'm not going to lie, it wasn't easy.
Yeah, I mean, Confusion is just effective, so you could have run into some trouble.
I started with Rattata because I thought maybe I could level a little, and that is such a risky maneuver in this game.
We can't do that anymore.
The swap out leveling is so difficult in this game because, A, if anyone lands a lucky punch on your weak Pokemon, they're just dead. B, when you swap out your other Pokemon, so like let's say Rattata does survive, when you swap out for Butterfree, Butterfree's going to take a hit, you know, just automatically. And that sucks now.
Yeah.
So I did go into the fight with Rattata at the start of the lineup, and then Rattata took a big hit. And then Butterfree took a big hit when I swapped in Butterfree. And I was like, oh shit, am I going to lose these two Pokemon and lose to Brock? But luckily, Butterfree came in, did the Confusions, and we made it through unscathed.
We're very...
Or actually, fairly scathed, but successful.
Fairly scathed. We're very fortunate that one of the changes that they did make for this update is that items can be held by Pokemon. So... Experience Share, a Pokemon podcast, Experience Share the item, will be able to be held by our Pokemon.
When we fucking get to it, if we get to it.
Oh, I mean, look at me. I'm in dire straits already.
I know. You're in rough shape.
Although, let me tell you fucking something. Brock and his crony was a joke.
Well, you got a fucking Bulbasaur. Of course they were.
Tone Soprano already had Vine Whip. It was a one-hit KO on everyone.
I will remind you that the next gym is Misty.
And that's going to be a one-hit KO also.
Oh, right. Yeah, you've got smooth sailing for a while.
Bulbasaur is the easiest one in this gen.
Yeah, you're good.
Which is why I usually don't pick Bulbasaur.
I am fucked next gym. I gotta catch some Mon.
You're gonna be in trouble. Well, you already have five.
I already have five. Let me see.
We're gonna have Root.
It's Root 3, Mount Moon, and Root 4. Is that it?
God, that's it. Oh my God, that's it.
So we can only catch 3 Pokemon on the next leg.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wait, this can really like snowball in a bad way if you have Pokemon that get killed early on like me.
That's it. We have Root 3, Root 4, Mount Moon.
Do we have
and
a
the
panic?
Fossils, which don't
we didn't,
count.
We didn't make a button about like panic. We didn't have like a rule about a panic button.
No panic button, Josh. You go back to the last gym.
Oh, shit. Yeah, but like, what if my whole foundation of my team is like fucked?
Yeah.
Like for forever, basically.
Yeah, yeah Josh.
No.
You should have thought about that. I got through this entire leg without losing a single Pokemon, Josh.
I've had dreams in the past few days about me catching that Mankey. I was like, God, having a fucking Primeape eventually would be so fun.
Yeah, Josh.
Oh my God.
God, you're so fucking hosed.
Yeah, I'm in a bad situation.
You're so hosed, Joshua. Anyway, we both beat Brock.
Gym number one.
Onward. Join us next week, Bug Catchers, when we head through apparently just 3 short more routes and 3 more catchable Pokemon on our way to Cerulean City, where we will face off with Gym Leader Misty.
It would be fun if one of us gets a Jigglypuff or a Clefairy.
That would be fun. Definitely both getting Zubats.
Yeah.
This is...
Hey, I'll take a Zubat.
Experience Share Pokemon Podcast. We are doing Nuzlocke Run. Please play along with us if you want to. Also, please do rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Follow it on Stitcher, Spotify, everywhere you follow podcasts. Recommend it to a friend. Tell them it's your favorite podcast in the world. Tweet about it. Do all the things that you do for podcasts that you love.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at expsharepod. If you give us a tweet, give us a Instagram post, and then DM us, we'll give you send you some stickers, and like, we're not going to be assholes if you just want a sticker.
I'm essentially fully moved in now, so I can start sending stickers again. So if you're wanting a sticker, I've got tons, and I'm happy to send them out. And I've got also international stamps, so you don't even have to worry if you're from a non-American country.
And check out our subreddit, reddit.com/r/bugcatchers.
Joshua.
Tanner.
Thank you for joining me tonight.
Okay.
On this random Saturday night, which is not usually when we record.
Thank you for joining me.
Bug Catchers, thank you for joining us. My name has been Char Tander, aka Tanner Greenring. I'm joined as always by my co-host, Fieji.
That was good. Okay.
AKA Joshua Fielstad. Josh, Bug Catchers, goodbye.
Smell you later.